Welcome to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. I'm News Director Dan Spaulding, and this week we are joined with Times Union Sports Editor Connor McCann. Connor, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me.
It'd be nice to talk about sports, but you have bigger issues on your plate right now. Recently, David Sloan with the Times Union profiled your situation. It's a health situation. Before we get into that, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, as you already mentioned, my name is Connor. I am 27 years old. I've lived in Warsaw for the past 3 years, served as the sports editor at the Times Union for all 3 of those years. I was born in Glenview, Illinois, raised there. It's a suburb about 25 minutes north of Chicago. Ended up going to journalism school at the University of Missouri, studying there for 4 years, and took this job out of college, and I've been here ever since.
You look healthy.
I feel healthy for the most part.
And but you've had health issues for much of your life, and yes. It's kind of gotten more serious.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So I was born with 2 kidneys, one of them functioning. When I was younger, my parents didn't really think anything of it. You know, you are able to live a perfectly healthy and fine life with just 1 kidney. But when I was around in 3rd or 4th grade, I started having issues with the non-functioning kidney. I had maybe 3 or 4 kidney infections in the span of a year. Ended up being hospitalized once or twice because of them. And my doctors ended up deciding, well, this is doing more harm than good. We're going to take that kidney out. So in 4th grade, they took out the non-functioning kidney, and I was left with just 1. Again, didn't really think anything of it because you can be fine with just the 1. I got sick again in 2019. I had a rare muscle injury that kind of shed things into light again. It caused my 1 functioning kidney to fail. I ended up in the hospital for 10 days. They had to perform dialysis to basically jumpstart it like a car almost to get it to work again. And it did. However, it never got back to its full function. And I don't know if it was ever fully functioning before that because, again, I thought I was healthy. I wasn't testing it or anything. My doctors didn't feel the need to test it. But after they did some tests while I was in the hospital in 2019, they discovered that my GFR, which is basically an indication of kidney function, you know, 100 is completely fine. 0 is it doesn't work. Mine was in the 30s, 40s range. So I was diagnosed with kidney disease. I was at stage 3 when I was first diagnosed. It eventually crept up into stage 4. And then this last March, I went in for a blood test. I've been doing my blood tests every 3 months just to check the function, other numbers, make sure everything was either, you know, hanging in there, slowly declining, steadily declining. It was a mixture of all 3. And when I went in March, my GFR had fallen down to 13. Which is considered renal failure, kidney failure. So ever since then, I've been dealing with the prospect that this kidney that I have is not long for this world, and I will at some point hopefully avoid dialysis, but to do that, I will need to get a kidney transplant.
For somebody in your 20s, how rare is this?
You know, it's a disease that a lot of people deal with, and in the age ranges, you know, I've heard stories of kids that are 10 or 11 years old that need a kidney transplant. I've heard stories of people that are in their 60s, 70s that need a kidney transplant. For me, I feel like it's kind of rare because I go to, you know, the nephrologist, the kidney doctors in Fort Wayne. I go to a transplant center in Chicago, and every single time I'm there, I'm the youngest person in the building, which is kind of a little depressing at some times, but, you know, it's something that a lot of people deal with. I don't know, like, numbers-wise, but I know that it's a lot more common for people when they get older as opposed to people that aren't even 30 yet, like myself.
And how are you feeling?
That's the craziest part to me, is that if nobody told me that my kidney was failing, I would tell them I feel perfectly fine. I lost, you know, I started taking my diet a lot more seriously because that's a big part of it. After I found this news out, I lost 40 pounds. I went from 220 pounds to 180 pounds. And I feel a lot better that way than I did when I was heavier. But other than that, you know, there are some nights where it's hard to fall asleep. Some days my legs ache because, you know, my skin is so dry. But for the most part, I feel healthy. I feel fine. I'm able to work out. I'm able to continue working. I'm able to continue covering games for the Times Union and doing all the things I love. I went to 5 or 6 different theme parks and rode roller coasters all summer long. So for the most part, I feel like I'm a healthy individual. I just happen to know that I'm not.
And how's that weighing on you mentally?
It can be hard. I try not to think about it a lot because, you know, just thinking about it just seems to make it worse for me. When I think about it, I start feeling all the different things that are wrong with me and start worrying about the future and stuff. But, you know, it's difficult because I've always wanted to live a normal, healthy life. And for the most part, I have. But I know that that's just not the case anymore. And it's weird, but it's also, you know, it's just my life now. So it's something I'm dealing with.
So are you on a lot of meds right now, and how does that go?
Depends what you consider a lot of meds. I take 7 pills a day, different stuff. Some to deal with iron because the lack of kidney function has made me anemic. I take a cholesterol-lowering medicine. I take medicine for gout, which I've suffered because of my low kidney function, which luckily I haven't dealt with in a while, ever since I lost some weight. I take pretty much a combination of everything. It's nothing compared to what I'll have to take after the transplant when I'm on anti-rejection meds. But
you're listening to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. I'm Dan Spaulding, and this week we are talking with Connor McCann, sports editor with the Times Union, who's got a serious health problem, essentially kidney failure. Let's continue in this discussion. Tell us about the campaign. You've got a kind of a public campaign going on trying to line up a transplant donor.
Yeah, honestly, the main part of finding a kidney donor is you want to find a living donor more than you want to just sit on a wait list and wait for a deceased donor. For starters, a deceased donor can take years to find if you're on a list in a metro as big as I am in Chicago. And the living donor kidney will last, statistically, it lasts an average of 5 to 10 years longer than a deceased donor. So we've made finding a living donor for myself a priority. We have been doing a variety of things to do that, like this interview right here to try to get the word out. The story that my coworker David Sloan wrote about me to try to get the word out. I have a Facebook page. It is Kidney4Connor, C-O-N-N-O-R. And there's a lot of information on that page. There's a way you can, you know, get to know me, get to know my situation, as well as some helpful links to learn about the process. My mother has done a great job helping me run that. My brother, Jeremy, was kind enough to start an Instagram page for me, same tag, Kidney4Connor, to try and, you know, get the word out that way. We've printed out flyers. There's a bunch of flyers in downtown Warsaw. There's flyers in Goshen, where I currently live. There's flyers in downtown Chicago. There's flyers in the suburbs of Chicago. There's flyers on my car and a decal with my phone number and the website information on there. And basically, we've pretty much tried to get all avenues to try to get the word out and try to have people see and see if they want to sign up.
So the Times Union story ran about, I think, 10 weeks ago.
Yes.
Are you getting some feedback?
You know, I have gotten some feedback, not just from the story, but our ad man, Paul Smith, was so kind to put my flyer on our Facebook page, and it was shared over 300 times. And I had 5 people reach out to me that day telling me that they had registered to donate. Right now, I think I have 6 or 7 people in the process. It could be even more. They don't tell me because of HIPAA laws. I'm not allowed to know where or when anybody signs up or is in the process. But it has helped a lot, and especially from people in this community that have been so kind to reach out and than their kind wishes.
And for those interested or at least considering the idea, what's a good donor look like?
A good donor is someone that's very healthy. It's obviously preferred to be someone that is closer to my age, because, you know, it's easier for someone that's closer in age to me to have a kidney that's not just more compatible, but will last longer, because they are a younger person. But when I say healthy, I mean, you know, in shape, not overweight, no diet, and, you know, diabetes is a big turnoff for the donor system. Any past cancers, past underlying illnesses, we can disqualify you as well. You basically have to be a person with picture-perfect health because, you know, they want to take care of the donors as much as they want to take care of the recipients. They're not going to take a kidney from someone that's going to need one themselves if they have to give one up.
No drinking, no drugs.
Right.
And preferably you would like somebody in your own age range.
Right.
Which could set you up for a good life.
Right. And, you know, while I would prefer that, you know, beggars can't be choosers. I'm not going to deny someone that's healthy and willing to give up a kidney because they're 10 or 15 years older than me. My transplant center might deny someone if they're 30 or 40 years older than me because I would just be potentially right back in the same spot 10 years from now. But, you know, there are a wide range of people that are able to donate, and I, you know, would accept from anybody at this point, really.
And so if you found somebody, how does the transplant process work?
So you would start off by either calling my transplant agent, basically, at Rush. Her name is Colleen. Or you can fill out a form on the Rush website. Basically, that form will ask you, it's like a questionnaire, you know, your name, you'll put your height, your weight, any underlying illnesses, any past illnesses, any current illnesses, if you're a drinker, if you're a smoker, all of the above, anything they want to know about you. And from there, they will either just deny you or they will send you to the next step, which is some initial blood work. You don't have to go to Rush Hospital to do that. You can go to your local hospital. And if that blood work also goes back and it is positive, they'll send you the next step. And that's a big, long day at the hospital, which if you're close enough, they probably will send you to Rush. If not, they'll send you to another big hospital in the area. And they will have a whole big day of tests, similar to what I'm going to be doing this Friday at Rush. And after that, they should be able to tell if you are compatible or not.
Speaking of what's coming up Friday, this is another step in that direction.
Yes.
In an effort to get on the list.
Yes.
Tell us about that process.
So I had my first appointment at Rush University Hospital in July, and that was basically just a consultation. I met with a surgeon, a dietitian, a pharmacist, a bunch of people that would be part of my quote-unquote transplant team moving forward. I was not able, since it's such, you know, a big hospital in a big city, it's kind of hard to get, you know, an earlier appointment. So, you know, a quicker appointment, I should say, right after the first. And so this week, Friday, I will be going back for the second time for a bunch of tests. You know, they'll do EKGs, ultrasounds, they'll do a stress test, which involves cardio and testing my heart. Basically, a whole bunch of things to make sure that I am healthy and worthy of receiving a transplant, because they're not just going to give a transplant to anybody if they're, you know, someone's sick and going to lose the transplant in a few months anyway. They're not going to bother with that. So once I make sure that I'm healthy, I can be put on the transplant list officially.
You're listening to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. I'm Dan Spaulding, and this week we are joined with Connor McCann, sports editor for the Times Union, who is, dare I say, tackling a major issue in your life, kidney disease. We've had a good talk so far. I'm kind of curious, you're soliciting people who might be a donor,
mm-hmm.
and yet, because of HIPAA, you're in the dark about who is getting into it, who might progress into the list. And so you're in the dark. What's that like?
It's an interesting situation. Right, as you said, because of HIPAA laws, My transplant center is not legally allowed to tell me about anybody that's in the process, if they've been denied, if they've been accepted, if they are on to step two, step three. The only time that they can tell me anything is if they've been approved. And a lot of times they might not even tell me who was approved. They'll just say, you have a donor. But that's not to say the person that is applying cannot reach out to me themselves and tell me. You know, I've had a few of my friends that have applied, and, you know, while my doctors cannot tell me where they are, they have been kind enough to reach out to me and say, hey, I just went in for my blood work today. Hey, I just filled out the questionnaire. So it's all about, you know, how willing the person is to reach out to me as opposed to the doctors, because they cannot.
Okay. So are you literally waiting for a call or an email? How would that work?
I will be I'm not currently waiting for the call. I guess the call that I'm waiting for is to know that I'm on the transplant list, which probably won't come for a few weeks. But after I'm on that list, the call can come pretty much whenever. I mean, on average, and I've been told in Chicago at my center, if I were to wait for a deceased donor, it could take anywhere between 3 to 5 years. But special circumstances pop up that maybe someone is a perfect match DNA-wise, or we have the same blood type, and I'm the highest of the blood type of my blood type on the list. So at that point, anything can happen.
How can it take so long for a deceased donor? People die every day.
There are a lot of people that need kidneys.
Really?
Yeah.
You're on a long list.
I am. I think my transplant center, they deal with hundreds of clients. And they're not the only center in Chicago, because they all reach from the same pool. You have Rush, you have Northwestern, you have Chicago University. They are all looking for the same pool of donors and donees.
So having somebody step up and help
expedites that process completely.
Yeah. So tell us about the transplant process from your perspective and the donors.
Well, I've kind of talked about the donor a little bit. You'll find out, you know, you'll go through these steps to try and find out if you are compatible and if you are able to donate or not. On the other hand, I'm kind of just waiting to figure it out myself. I get on the list and I'm kind of just sitting there waiting around for either a living donor or a cadaver kidney to pop up. What's really cool is they now have this new program. It's called the Pairing Program. Where basically, say you needed a kidney yourself and your wife wanted to donate to you, but you guys were not a match. And my brother wanted to donate to me, but he is not a match. But my brother happens to be a match with you and your wife happens to be a match with me. They will cross over and both of us can get a kidney. So it used to be you just had to be the same blood type to donate a kidney to someone. And you do need to receive a kidney from the same blood type. But now they can expedite that process even faster, having many people get a kidney at the same time, thanks to the pairing program, which kind of helps speed things up for everybody.
So hypothetically, you line somebody up, things are moving ahead. What's the surgical process? How many days for you and the donor?
We'll both probably be in the hospital for around a week, if I had to guess. The recovery time varies based on how healthy the person is and how their body responds to the procedure. I have heard that, you know, it can take up to 6 months for the recipient to feel fully healthy afterwards, and that includes a bunch of visits to the center a couple times a week in that time leading up to it, because, you know, they need to make sure that new kidney is working and it's functioning correctly. So it kind of just varies based on how the person reacts and how healthy the person is.
Okay. And healthcare costs. What are the costs to the donor?
The procedure is covered by the recipient's insurance, so they don't have to worry about that. And I've heard that the transplant center will, if you have to miss time at work or drive far to go to the center and perform blood tests, the center will provide lost wages for you, as well as gas money.
So in the meantime, if your condition continues to worsen, you'll move into a dialysis phase. But there's two options.
Yes.
Tell us about that a little.
I could either do hemodialysis, which is the classic dialysis most people have heard of. You get in a chair at a clinic, They put a tube in either your neck or your wrist, and they take all your blood out, they clean it, and they put it back in. It's a process that takes several hours, and you feel very tired afterwards, and that happens 3 days a week. Or there's a newer type of dialysis called perineal dialysis, PD, which involves putting a catheter in your stomach and putting fluid in your abdomen to kind of simulate a working kidney. That would be something that I would do every single day, but it's something I can also do at home and while I'm sleeping, so I could still continue to live a normal life during the day, and that's what I'm leaning towards if it comes to that point.
Thankfully, you have insurance. Obamacare, essentially?
Yes.
And God knows what happens if you didn't have insurance.
I'd be in a whole lot of trouble.
Okay. Tell us again about how to learn more about helping you out.
You can go to my Facebook page, Kidney for Connor. That's Kidney, the number 4, Connor. You can find a lot of information there. You can reach out to me on my cell phone number. That's 847-650-3166. I have an Instagram page with the same title as my Facebook page, and I have an email you can reach out to as well. That is also kidney4connor@outlook.com.
You holding up?
I'm doing my best, doing the best I can.
Okay. Good to talk with you, Connor.
Thank you.
You've been listening to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. If you have any questions, comments, or story ideas, email me at news@newsnowwarsaw.com. Have a good weekend, everybody.